diarrhea.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's a Tuesday morning.
Happy Tuesday.
Bucks and Celtics, that's going to be a matchup. Rockets couldn't close it out against the Jazz, and now we have to have the Warriors start at 7:30 tomorrow, if I'm correct. That was the criteria, as we needed both the Bucks and the Rockets to close out their series so the Warriors would play an hour and a half earlier. I've never rooted for the Rockets so hard in my life.
You wanted the early start time.
I wanted the early start time. The hour and a half, it actually ends up turning into like an hour and 50 minutes because there's 20 minutes of the carryover from the game before, which always takes longer than expected. So 7:30 is definitely not going to be the start time. It's going to be around 8 o'clock probably. Well, 7:30 is the official start time. Tune in right here on 95.7 The Game. You'll catch the sultry sounds of Tim Roy and everyone on the Warriors live on the pregame and everything. We'll still be doing all our coverage at the appropriate time.
Correct.
But the games, they always end up starting late, and that makes me angry.
Yeah, I kind of get that, too. I'm also going to be working NBC Sports tomorrow night, so I'll be doing pre and post for Warriors. So coming in on Thursday morning, it's going to be a nice funnel. So a little lack of sleep when it comes to Thursday, I'm sure, with a late Warrior game. But you know what, though? I'm happy because now you don't have to worry about a rested, I mean, they're going to be kind of okay, but too rested of a Rockets team potentially facing a Warrior team.
That's true.
Most
and,
likely.
You see a guy like Clint Capella. He's come down with a couple of viruses. It actually seems pretty bad, but he should be recovered in time for the series against the Warriors. That won't really affect it. But you interviewed Barry Zito yesterday, didn't you?
I did. I got to
How'd
talk
that
to him.
Go?
It was great. He, you know, he is such a nice, nice guy. He is absolutely great. First off, a little bit of a mix. So it was a phone interview, and I unfortunately gave him the wrong studio number, so I was kind of making a mad dash to get to the right studio. But he was totally cool, no problem. He was, you know, just like he normally was, just chill.
Laid back.
Very
Let's
chill.
Let's do some yoga.
Yeah, so he's actually, he's
Let's
in
play
Nashville.
Play some guitar.
Exactly. Well, that's what he's doing right now. He's playing guitar. He's working on his music career right now in Nashville. And he's doing great. And then also he has a book coming out called Curveball, September 17th. And it's all about, you know, he had one of the big contracts, obviously. He had one of those huge contracts that everybody's like, wow, he got paid a ton of money when he was with the Giants. And that completely changed his life. And he didn't get into too many details because he says, I have a lot of stories in the book.
Yeah.
But he talks about the ups and downs and the emotional side and how he dealt with the downs that come with the pressure that comes in baseball when you have that much money on the line. And we also talked about, you know, obviously the big signings this year between Bryce Harper and Mike Trout and those massive contracts.
What did he think about it? Did you ask him like about like kind of the state of baseball and what it's going as right now?
We chatted a little bit about that.
With this launch angle era stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, we chatted about that. We also talked about the idea of the Giants moving in the fences also and what it meant as a pitcher. So if you want to hear what he said, just go to the Community Champions podcast on 957thegame.com. You could also subscribe on iTunes as well. Go to radio.com. But check it out. So it's a great interview with him. And also why we were talking also was because it was Earth Day yesterday.
Right.
And what the A's did was they did a very powerful thing with Barry where he sang the national anthem, but they decided to unplug. And what they did was they unplugged the video board, any of the audio. So they are trying to turn off the power for a little bit during the national anthem. And that one moment just saved so much energy and the idea of helping save the planet, things like that. But it was kind of powerful because the whole idea was that he sang the national anthem along with the crowd in attendance. So it was a cool moment. You
so
know,
the
just
entire crowd sang.
Everybody sang the national anthem together. So it was a moment of unity. You know, just a powerful way to sing all together and kind of come together as one. So it was pretty cool.
When's he coming out with his book?
September 17th.
Ah, so 11-17 or
9-17. Yep.
So he should be coming out with it on December 6th.
Yeah, 12-6 curve.
Yeah, I get
where you're going with that.
12-6 curveball.
Would have been smart idea.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity, Barry Zito. I should be your marketing PR person.
Yeah, and it would have been great as a Christmas gift idea. That would have been good. Think about it. any A's or Giants fan, who wouldn't want the curveball book for Christmas, right? You know, put that on Santa's list.
So speaking of former A's from the early 2000s when they should have been more successful.
Don't remind me.
Have you seen what Eric Burns is doing?
No, what's he doing?
He's trying to set a world record, and I think that's this morning. I'm pretty sure it's this morning. I looked up an update, and he's basically trying to play the most rounds of golf in a 24-hour span, and I think the record is 401 holes.
Holy cow.
And he is currently on his, I want to say his 22nd round or something like that, and he is about... If he completes that 22nd round, he'd be about five holes away from actually breaking that record.
That's pretty ridiculous. So I'm guessing, though, you don't have to get a certain score because you're probably just going through pretty quickly.
Oh, I don't think so.
You know?
I forgot all the ground rules and everything, but I think one guy I saw it from was John Morosi from MLB Network. He reported it a couple of days ago that he was going for the Guinness Book of World Records, and he's going for the record for it, and he's bringing out the whole adjudicator and everything like that. So he's legit gonna probably break the 24-hour golf course.
I believe
record.
If anybody could do it, it's him. He is an interesting cat. I love that guy. He's so fun. He's one of those guys. He does ultra marathons. You know, if you run, one of my friends did an ultra marathon, and she said to run, be a runner that much and do something like that, you have to be crazy in order to do it. So I believe that with him, he's a little crazy. The guy's got chickens on in his house. He's got all kinds of crazy animals at the house. So he's a fun guy.
Yeah, he's always been more of that charismatic outfielder, crazy, diving for every ball, flipping after trying to gun a guy down at home, literally doing a front flip. Yeah. I tried to do that in Little League. It worked once. But he's one of the craziest people that I've really been around because I've been around him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's just so, how do I put this? Very, what's the word? What am I thinking of? Like high
intensity?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm not really thinking of the word. It's early in the morning right now.
Okay.
But I can't think of it. He's just very upbeat. And,
yeah.
You know, he's just kind of always looking around and moving and everything like that. So I'm shocked that he's actually going to do this. But at the same time, I am not surprised that he's going to complete it. And he's going to complete it pretty quickly here because he's still got 2 hours till 7 a.m.
So here's my question on that then. As do you golf?
Yeah.
Okay. So would you want to be more efficient so that you have, you know, less strokes, obviously, or you just kind of move as fast as you can. Just get the ball in the hole.
Eesh. I would want to probably just hit it as many times as possible. Even in one round of golf, once you get to the 17th hole, you're kind of just taking hacks at that point. You're not really taking your time thinking about the shot. At least that's me. But if he's doing it for 22 rounds of golf, he's definitely not caring about any shot that he's making.
Right.
I wouldn't for sure. As we move on from 707 High Strung on the Chill Not Everybody text line. Nah, strung's not the word I'm looking for. But we do move on from a couple of fun little topics there to Luke Walton, which was the news. We're only going to spend a little time on this. Later on in the show, we're going to get to this article about Kevin Durant from Logan Murdoch regarding the media and everything like that. And we've already put the just where is KD going free agency rumors to bed. He's pretty clear that he doesn't know where he's going to go. So, I mean, we're just going to put that to rest. But at the same time, this article did come out and he said something about the media. So we're going to talk about it. We got to. And
got then it.
Mark Jackson also had some comments on the Warriors and it's kind of pertaining to the article. And we'll also get to the draft because it is on Thursday and we've got some shakeups going on with the Cardinals and the Raiders. But for right now, we see Sacramento Kings head coach Luke Walton, as reported by TMZ, was accused by
Tennant. What I know her last name.
Kelly Tennant. He was accused by Kelly Tennant, an LA sports reporter, saying he sexually assaulted her, and that was with his tenure with the Warriors. Anna, you have some statements on that?
Yeah, so kind of going into a little bit of this, the idea was that she went to his hotel room because she had a book that she was writing and he was going to help write the foreword of her book. So they definitely had a little bit of a relationship already.
Right.
And then Tennant is saying that Walton pinned her down to the bed, kissed and groped her despite her screaming to stop. She said he let her up but forced himself against her again, and she walked towards the door before finally allowing her to leave the room. This is one of those interesting things because we don't have a lot of, you know, obviously evidence. This was a he said, she said in the rooms and everything. So the only thing is there's a couple things. One, I don't see anything about criminal charges. It's just a lawsuit up against him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no criminal charges right now. The only thing that bothers me, I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong in this. My only advice for especially young women in this industry, as a woman myself, is one, if you go to somebody's hotel room, it's a little, I'm not saying it's right for him to, you know, try to potentially go after if that's the case. But you're putting a persona out there. You're kind of putting something out there saying you're available.
It's sometimes. A very personal it position to put yourself in.
And look, if you're in this industry and you want to work with somebody, don't put yourself in that situation. Whether or not she wanted this, it's not acceptable at all. If he would be completely wrong if he did this, it would be completely wrong of him. But at the same time, you got to protect yourself as well. But also as a man, you also need to protect yourself too because of situations like this, because there is no way of protecting yourself. So if he says this is not true at all, and he did come out saying it's not true, but if that's the case, then don't invite her to your room.
Yeah, the lawyers pretty much came out saying that she's just trying to get headlines and trying to get whatever
an opportunist,
any sort of benefit that she can get out of this. And so
she was covering the Lakers at the time. She worked for Spectrum. I think it was Spectrum Media, Spectrum Sports. But he was with the Warriors. The Kings released a statement as of right now. This happened a week after being announced that he's the Kings head coach. He said, we are aware of the report and are gathering additional information. We have no further comment at this time. The Lakers also issued a statement saying the alleged incident took place before Luke Walton was the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. At no time before or during his employment here was this allegation reported to the Lakers. If it had been, we would have immediately commenced an investigation and notified the NBA. Since Luke Walton is now under contract to another team, we have no further comment. And again, this happened when he was the assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors also came out saying, we became aware of the alleged incident and story this evening, and we are in the process of seeking more information. We have no further comment at this time.
Now, we're not going to really go into this in this hour. We're going to get into more, you know, the draft and Kevin Durant. But it feels like it was just worth a mention because it was here when he was with the Warriors. And these type of cases, they're becoming more and more frequent now, especially in sports. And it seems both sides are going to fight for themselves. And like the Kings said, they're going to gather information and everyone's going to continue to gather information until they can actually come to a conclusion. Right now, Luke Walton is still the coach of the Sacramento Kings because nothing's been alleged yet. So nothing specific has been alleged. So, I mean, it's a tough subject really to talk about. And especially when you got a guy like Luke Walton, who Steve Kerr came out and said is one of the best people ever.
Best human beings.
Yeah. It's hard to believe and it's hard to imagine. So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say who to trust, who not to trust, whatever. You're not going to choose sides on this one. But
that's not our job.
No, it's not.
We're not judges. We're not involved. We don't have everything in front of us. Yeah. We see only what has been reported. That's it. But it's a sad situation.
Yeah, and hopefully they come to the correct conclusion and no one gets screwed either way. So,
I mean, he's also a married man.
Right.
So this is going to affect his marriage, everything, whether or not he did it. If he did it, you know, that's what happens. But if he didn't do it, it's sad because that could affect the marriage.
And it's life-altering, for sure. Life-altering, for sure. All right, so we're going to get into the draft next because Gruden came out saying that he loves Kyler Murray. The Cardinals come out saying they're not going to draft Kyler Murray. I think the Niners are in such an advantageous spot. It's kind of ridiculous. I think it's going to matter more in the later rounds. But we'll get to that. We'll get to Kevin Durant and the article by Loden Murdock on NBC Sports Bay Area. Come on back. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagadakis.
You have not traveled back into the late 1980s. You are here in 2019 with this song.
Sad. Love it. Who is this?
I have no idea.
It does sound like the 80s, which I was like, I can dig it. It's almost like Paula Abdul-ish slash
Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Bobby Brown.
All right, there you go.
Okay, there you go.
You ever hear Guru? You ever hear Guru make his little Bobby Brown joke? Anytime he has like an action or a cause or something like that, he always goes. He's like, "I'm gonna go Bobby Brown on you. It's my prerogative." It's my favorite thing that he does. Pre-game show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Okay, so where are we at on the draft, Anna? Where are you at with the 49ers, the Raiders? What do you think is the biggest positional need for the Niners? What do you want to see them address in this draft?
There's a few things that need to be addressed. One definitely right now, I think one of the big things is wide receiver, because there's definitely offensive issues. When you have Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis as kind of your targets,
yeah.
I think that's an area that you really need to improve upon. So that's an area, a little bit of an edge rusher, obviously, is the number one. That's been the number one talking point right now for the 49ers. And that's where the whole Nick Bosa, whether he's going to be available, number two, what's going to go on there. And, you know, whatever happens with the Cardinals at number one, whether or not they're going to take Kyler Murray or not, apparently, whatever that rumor is, because that's just kind of throwing everybody for a loop right now. What are you thinking?
Well, Pete Prisco, from CBS, had that report that the Cardinals aren't looking to take Kyler Murray with that first overall pick, which led to a bunch of trade scenarios for the Niners in which people are going to make offers. And John Lynch had his pre-draft press conference, and he said that they are obviously going to be taking calls. But I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at just everything, just the big boards, I'm looking at tape from Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, all of this stuff, and I'm just thinking, if they just keep that second pick, there's no way they can really go wrong here. Because, for one thing, you're not really getting a sure thing in the later first rounds if you're just obtaining more picks. They are absolutely valuable, but they are super valuable so you can trade up to get a better player. These guys in the later rounds, I don't really have as much faith. So, because it's such a small percentage of these guys actually become successful and live up to the bill. When you're a first-round pick, you're expected to be Khalil Mack. You're expected to be Von Miller. You're expected to be J.J. Watt. These kind of guys that are really making an impact on the game and are possibly future Hall of Famers. That's kind of what's expected from a first-round pick. And I think if you are sitting there at number two, and you got a guy like Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams, both are appropriate sizes for their position. Nick Bosa, he's a 6'3", 270 pounds. He's low, he's stable, he's going to be controlling these big offensive tackles. It doesn't seem like they can really go wrong here in this draft if they keep that number two pick, which, in my opinion, I'm just going right now, they need to.
I think I'm with you. And I know that I think John Lynch was saying if they do potentially trade back, they could look into getting to the number 10 pick, which I'm sure, look, there are some players that are drafted later who are spectacular.
Right.
But when you have a sure thing, like if Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams are available, I think you have to go for it. I'm completely with you on this. You need that talent. You need what's basically almost a sure thing, even though they say it's never a sure thing. But when they have all the essentials that's needed for their position, you kind of just got to go with it.
You can feel free to hit up the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 if you want to tell us, what are you thinking? Because it's coming up on the draft. Do you watch the draft, Anna?
I love the draft.
Yeah?
I absolutely love draft coverage, especially the first
day.
Oh, God, yes. I used to like it better, honestly, when it was on Saturday mornings, because my whole routine was Saturday morning, 9 a.m., because, you know, that's what it is in the West Coast time here.
Yeah.
I'd get up in the morning, get my coffee, and just sit all day watching draft coverage, because I don't watch a ton of college football. So for me, it's a good way to kind of see these young stars and kind of, I love the packages that they put together on these players and really get to know them. Obviously, you read a bunch of articles about these guys, but I love the backstories and kind of getting to know a lot of these players and seeing how each will affect different teams and just all the analysis for everybody. But I love draft coverage. I think there's no other draft coverage that's better than the NFL.
I mean, that's true for sure. I don't know. I just don't like it in any sport. Draft coverage, I'm fine with. I'm great with, with, you know, talent evaluators, guys who make their mock drafts, fine. Mock drafts, I'm kind of like just put to the wayside a little bit. I don't really, I'm not going to sit there and just try and remember everyone's mock draft. And when I'm watching it, be like, oh yeah, this is who this guy chose. So he's right. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm not big on the mock draft thing. That's just not, I'm not
mock
huge
drafts are hard, especially when you have like, you know, 10 versions from one person all of a sudden coming out. It's like, okay, yeah, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, Mel Kiper with his mock draft 17.0.
Exactly, yeah. But, at least, is that what it's at right now? Probably 17? Sounds about right.
Yeah, probably. And I think that in terms of evaluating talent and kind of saying whether they're NFL ready, then yeah, I'm totally with that. But just in any draft with any sport, really, I'm not all that into it. I mean, I'm just like, I'm just right now, I'm just getting the picks on Bleacher Report, and they're just telling me, you know, who's going number 1 through 10, and they kind of update you on that, and it's up to you to kind of just keep up with all of it. I'm just, I'm not big on like watching the draft in real time. It's
really?
All, yeah, it's just,
I love it.
It's just all like, there's too much going on. The red carpet for these guys that haven't played a snap in the NFL, I'm not into that at all. That's some of these guys, I'm watching this red carpet since like however long they've done it. These guys are out there looking fly in their suits, and you know what? More power to them. But they haven't played a snap in the NFL, and some of these guys, that's literally their peak of their football career. And you know what, though? That's fine, because it's hard enough to make it into the NFL, let alone be cared enough about to actually be put on the red carpet and be commercialized a little bit. But at the same time, it's just I kind of end up forgetting about some of these dudes. And it's just to me, it's kind of sad in a way, because I'm watching these guys. I'm like, all right, they have such high hopes. And then you watch and like a very tiny percentage of them actually live up to the expectation. But at the same time, I mean, I'm just kind of jealous.
Way to turn their awesome moment into such a downer here.
I know,
jeez,
right?
Man.
I know.
See, I love the whole idea of, you know, getting the phone call. I love the videos of them getting their phone call from the organization saying, you know, we want to pick you.
Yeah.
And just seeing their faces, their families. I like the whole, I love the whole story behind it. And first one, I don't know what, the one that sticks out to me, the very first one where I really, really started getting into it, obviously, was when 49ers had the number one overall pick, and they picked Alex Smith.
Right.
And you had that whole idea of, you know, were they going to pick Alex Smith? Were they going to pick Aaron Rodgers? And just the back and forth. And then waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get picked and seeing him drop further down the road and just seeing his face and everything.
Yeah.
To me, that was the first one that stuck out. And I feel like from then, that's when I really, really started watching the draft. And every year, it's always been, I want to watch the draft. It's appointment television, but there's no other league that does it as well. You know, baseball, I'll tune in afterwards, see who my team picked. I really don't care for the actual draft day coverage. NBA, it's only like the first three picks I care about, and then I'm done.
Well, baseball, the annoying thing is these guys get drafted, but they're going through the minor leagues, and it takes them like 3 years to even come up. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is about to make his debut, and nobody really cares.
I care because I love
what we do, because we're fans of baseball. But nationally, like it's not like we're sitting here anticipating for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s debut, because he's going to just get 3 at-bats. Hopefully he hits a homer, and then that's kind of it. He just continues to go on with his day. With football, I feel like they do market these rookies better than anyone else. Maybe basketball, not so much. You kind of forget about after the first few picks. You kind of forget any of these other players that are in the league. And then they end up being rookie of the year candidates, and you realize, oh, yeah, I forgot about them in the draft.
Well, they were great.
Yeah.
I was on the trade. Weren't they fall?
Yeah.
Where were they?
But the NFL does do a fantastic job in terms of getting their players out there. But also, it's just like sometimes for me, it's just too much, a little too much.
Well, from the 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line, it's going to be cinematic this year, hosted on ABC.
I don't need it to be cinematic. Just
I do. I love it. I love the drama.
Just
I love the intrigue.
Make the picks. Let me know what they are, and I'm going to react to everyone. Because when you watch these guys, right, when you watch Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Montez Sweat, T.J. Hockenson even, the tight end out of Iowa, who is, if somehow the 49ers seem to pick him up, I don't know, if they do trade back, say, to that number 10 spot like you were talking about earlier, and manage to pick up T.J. Hockenson, then they'd both have George Kittle and Hockenson, the two tight ends from Iowa, maybe create a crazy tight end combo to alleviate the pain of the lack of wide receivers at the position. So that could happen, but
watching these guys, especially in college, they dominate the entire time.
Right.
There's a reason that they are in this top 10 echelon of players, especially going into the NFL. And I'm just, it's hard to find really, it's hard for me to distinguish how good they are in college to how good they'll be in the NFL.
But here's the
I think it's the most unpredictable thing.
Oh, I agree 100% on that. The only thing, here's the thing about the NFL that's different. So say like in baseball, you see why all these teams are tanking in order to get better. It takes a while. The process takes a while to get better usually, mm-hmm. right? You can't go from last place to first place usually in a year, correct?
Right.
Because there's such so much going into the roster. Kind of different in football where you can almost go like a year or two. I mean, maybe not 1 year, but about 2 years, 2-3 years, and you can all of a sudden have a complete turnaround in football. And that's where I think the intrigue of the draft is, because you get, you know, one key player, all of a sudden it can completely change your defense or can completely change your offense. You know, maybe you have a team that's a great defense, you have all the pieces, but you don't have a quarterback. And then all of a sudden you get your quarterback and you have so much to look forward to. It gives fans something to look forward to the next year, because usually if you're obviously in the top picks, your team's stuck to last year. Sorry, but that's what happens, where all of a sudden now you might actually have a good season. There's still hope.
One of my favorite reports to come out yesterday was Todd McShay saying that Gruden loves Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Do we realize who we're talking about here? We're talking about John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
The guy on QB camp loved every single quarterback that came in here. This Nathan Peterman guy, man, he's going to be a solid starter.
Ooh.
This Josh Dobbs guy out of Tennessee, he's an aerospace engineer. He could teach me a thing or two. Josh Dobbs hasn't played a snap, basically, in the NFL. He loves every single quarterback that he really has ever evaluated. It's him saying that he loves Kyler Murray. Okay, I like burritos. I mean, it's literally the same thing, because he loves every single quarterback that he ever lays his eyes on. He loved Johnny Manziel. He wanted him to go to the Raiders. It's like having that him say that, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay,
shouldn't.
So Derek Carr hears the report about how much John Gruden loves Kyler Murray. What does John Gruden tell Derek Carr?
Well, man, I'm going to tell you, this Kyler Murray guy, I do love him, but I love you even more. They're saying that he doesn't love Derek Carr that much. For me, when you got Antonio Brown coming to the Raiders, it seems like he's the one guy you want to keep happy, because we've seen what he does to a team that he's not happy with. And he comes out and he starts warming up with Derek Carr on the first day
that
he gets signed. He gets signed on the first day. What, you think drafting Kyler Murray is going to make the guy you want to make most happy? You think that's going to make him satisfied? No, I don't think so. I think them drafting Kyler Murray, I don't know if that's going to happen. It might. I probably am wrong, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. And also, Gruden, I don't think, knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
When they say they're going to have a surprise pick at number four, I think that they mean they're surprised too, because they have no idea what they're going to do.
I mean, they got rid of all their scouts.
Yeah.
Nobody knows but him and Mayock. It's just those two.
If Mayock comes out and says he loves Kyler Murray and doesn't like Derek Carr, then you know what? Fine. I might actually put some credence into that. But not John Gruden, because he has loved every single quarterback that's ever crossed his path. And I love John Gruden.
I do, too.
All right, so there was an interesting article that came out on Kevin Durant. Naturally, his free agency speculation has been the biggest storyline of the season, and I want to kind of get into it next, and we got some Mark Jackson sound, which kind of capitalizes on what Kevin Durant had to say. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagaraki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for golden mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Okay, so Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the biggest storyline of this Warriors season. It feels like he's taking control of every headline, whether it's a bad performance by him and what this means, him being mad with the media afterwards. Well, Logan Murdoch, he wrote a fantastic article on NBC Sports Bay Area. And one of the first quotes from Kevin Durant in this article
when talking about his relationship with the media is, quote, they need me. If I wasn't a free agent, none of the bleep would go on, right? None of this speculation about who I am, what's wrong with my mental, why I'm miserable, why I ain't happy with life, nothing. And that's him, of course, talking about the media and their questions about his personality and all that sort of stuff. But real quick, before we get into all the specifics of it, in terms of superstars in sports, whether you got superstars in basketball, superstars in baseball, superstars in football, it seems like, and superstars in hockey, game 7 tonight for the Sharks, by the way.
Whew, go Sharks, go.
Big one. But do NBA superstars feel like, it feels like they're the most unhappy of any of the superstars. Like, I'm watching, maybe it's just with the media, and that's the only really barometer I have to gauge their, how they are, but when you're watching Russell Westbrook and Paul George up there just not looking like they want to even talk, Kevin Durant going off on the media in February, I mean, Greg Popovich, he doesn't do third quarter interviews, and that kind of carried over to the superstars. Do you find superstars to kind of be unhappy in the NBA?
You know what it is? I think the difference with the NBA is that there's so much more individual attention in the NBA because, you know, obviously each team is predicated by the superstars that are on there.
Right.
You know, when you have a football, I say is second, but because of the magnitude difference between a superstar on the team and some of the other players as well. But I think that a lot of those other teams, it's more of a team effort. I'm not saying the Warriors, it's very much a team effort, but it is more because of the fact that they're superstars, that there's more attention individually on each player. If that makes kind of sense, but
no, that makes total sense.
And
I think that's what it kind of stems from, mm-hmm. is that these NBA players, the NBA markets their players better than anybody,
yes.
their stars especially.
Yes.
I mean, you got pictures of Russell Westbrook in his outfit beforehand, and it manages to make crazy national headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Football, they're kind of trying to do that. Baseball, they just don't.
No,
baseball just doesn't want to market their superstars. They want to keep it the way it is. But it seems like at the same time, baseball players are much happier.
Yeah.
Because they're not under so much
pressure.
Of a spotlight. And when it hits when Kevin Durant hits the spotlight taking this Warriors job, I mean, it just doesn't seem like he's been as happy as we all expected from the years of 2017 to 2019.
Yeah, I don't know how much the NBA does media training when these new players come into the league. If they don't, they definitely should, because of the fact that they are so focused on marketing their stars that they need to kind of help them a little bit more. Maybe that's something when it comes to branding stars and kind of helping these guys. You know, some of them do it well. LeBron James, say what you want about the guy. I mean, he does all kinds of stuff, but he doesn't seem phased half the time. I mean, he'll get annoyed about things, but he's just himself, and he's done really well with everything that he's done, basically his empire. He's done a fantastic job with it.
Well, you could say that LeBron is almost the start of all of this,
yeah.
just because of the decision, literally putting on a TV show to let you know where he's going.
Yeah.
He might have been the start of this whole thing.
The catalyst, basically.
Yeah, to quote from more on Logan Murdoch's article, said Durant believes this landscape is much different than the one he inhabited in 2016, when every one of his words, actions, and play weren't seen by pundits and even former teammates as a sign if he'll stay or if he'll go. Quote, I've never had this before, Durant said. This is a totally new experience. I never had so many people that come to me and ask about where I should play, and there's nothing wrong with it, but don't get mad when I talk about it. Don't get mad when you're speculating, when you're in your own head about something that I'd said nothing about. Like, my question is, couldn't have this all been prevented?
Yeah.
Like, every single morsel that he said, like, he went on that Posted Up podcast. That really enhanced it. The podcast with Chris Haynes talking about he just wants to make the most money in free agency, but at the same time, he thinks he'll get statues outside of the Chase Center when it's built. So you got, like, two ends of the spectrum
It's all over the place.
Right.
He's all over the place with what he's saying. And this where I think he really hasn't made a decision yet. You and I both have said this many times. It's like, we don't think he's made a decision completely. He's, I think, exploring everything. But right now, I think he is focused on the postseason and everything and trying to get into the playoffs, get to the NBA Finals, and finish off the season right. But it could have been prevented. And you look at somebody like somebody who doesn't care is Klay Thompson. He just does not. He's just like, whatever. When it comes to dealing with the media, he says things. I mean, he talked about jumping in the ocean, for goodness sakes, yesterday. That's what he was talking about. It doesn't feel like it's forced with him.
When the Michael Thompson rumors came out, or when Michael Thompson rumored that Klay wants to stay, blah, 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 you never really heard a peep out of Klay Thompson talking about it. It seems like he hasn't really let it affect him. And I think it's interesting that you bring that up. It shows that when you're a superstar like KD and you're a franchise-altering player, people are going to ask you about this constantly, and it just shows the difference between him and Klay and the kind of status they have in the NBA.
Well, I'll give you this, though. In L.A., they're talking about Klay.
Yeah.
I have some good friends down there who always, whenever I see them, we're getting Klay Thompson. We're getting Klay Thompson. Like, no.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They talk about it all the time. They always say, Michael says he's coming here. It's like, that's not what he says up here. So I don't know. I mean, this is what I've been hearing from friends of mine in L.A. when they hear the media down there. But I don't think he's going to be going anywhere personally. I think he'll be staying here. I think the Warriors are going to take care of business because he is an integral part of this team. So I think that he will end up staying here with the Warriors. But they want him. They want him bad down there.
Are the media kind of the scapegoats in this whole thing? Are they just the only ones being blamed? Because it is their job to get whatever they can out of these players. The one thing that Kevin Durant has been just angry about is that these reports are coming out that are all false. Now, when they're talking about his personality and how he feels regarding his place in the team and everything, I get why he's so mad about that. But if you have like a simple scoop, you're saying you're hearing that, hey, like sources say that he could be going to the Knicks. Do you blame the media member for actually giving that scoop? Frank Isola came out a while ago and talked about how they're reporting that he could be going to the Knicks. Do you blame any of the media here, or are they just like the scapegoat that we're chosen to blame?
So if you go to Twitter, you see on the left-hand side of the page the what's trending now.
Right.
And when you go on there and all of a sudden it says Kevin Durant, you click on that. And if you have the report that says Kevin Durant decides to go here, you're going to get tons of follows. You're going to get tons of likes. And all of a sudden you're trending as well, along with Kevin Durant. I think that it's a little bit of both where you do want that. You get excited when like all of a sudden you have a tweet that's trending. That's all of a sudden huge. It's like, all right, I'm out there. My name's out there as well. So there is a little bit of both that media is excited about it. And you do want to have the whole, you know, the hot button item that everybody wants. And it is something that gets you kind of like almost a little high. It just gets excited to do it. You're like, all right, I'm in this. I'm part of the story now.
They didn't really, I don't think they did speculate on his personality in the right way. I do think that the whole Draymond Green thing spat back in November, that changed the dynamic entirely. It's been one of the more interesting seasons, quite frankly.
Seriously.
What would have been the storyline had none of this been going on? Say, I mean, last year, there really wasn't much of like a underlying storyline theme throughout the season. Kevin Durant, where's he going to go? That's been the main question every single game. Somehow it came out after every single game.
Yeah.
There'd be something, a look on the bench, a action, him doing a pregame routine or something where he's away from the players. And people would speculate on how he's basically dislodged from the roster. It's like there's just a lot of speculation about why he's leaving and whatever. And I think that that's really what got him. I think that really got under his skin because he reads everything.
He does.
And if you're going to try and dictate his mood in an article when you really don't know what he's thinking, I think that just set him off.
You know how when you write a text to somebody and it comes off differently than rather when you say it? Like you may say something and somebody might be like, oh, are you pissed off at me? Are you mad at me? It's like, no, I wasn't mad. I just texted you this. But it can come off differently on paper versus when actually somebody says it. So that's the other thing that you got to kind of figure out. It's like, how is this said? you're putting everything under a microscope right now, like we've talked about. But again, a lot of these reporters, it's their job. They have to make stories. They have deadlines, especially now that everything's on the internet. It's not the traditional way with just a newspaper. And, you know, you read your newspaper and you have one article, you know, you have to get this article out every day or this article out. Sometimes you get multiple articles from the same, you know, same reporter every day. It just depends. So you're trying to find more content, more and more things to put out there. And that's just kind of the nature of the business. Now, what I also found interesting in Logan Murdoch's piece was the idea of the athlete-driven media. So you have a lot of things like Player Tribune,
right,
that was started by Derek Jeter, and how all these athletes are kind of taking away the media and doing things on their own. And Kevin Durant in the article said, I think a lot of media companies are sad about that, which is causing a strain between the players and the media, because obviously they all want to keep their jobs. They all want to tell their stories, but the players are telling it better.
This is a good thing, right? For players to be kind of driving the narrative for themselves. When they're breaking their own news, when Durant's writing a Players Tribune article saying my next chapter and announcing that he's going to the Golden State Warriors, I kind of like that, because there's no I can get any Woj report, any Shams Charania report out there. But until it comes from really the horse's mouth, especially in this day and age when we're really all about clicks, clickbait is the popular thing, I don't think we really are going to have any other option but to hear from the players going forward, because it didn't used to be like that back in the day.
It's confirming when it comes from the players. It confirms what they're thinking. You're getting what their views are. But at the same time, it's kind of like a book. You either have the first-person view or the third-person view, the first person being obviously the athlete themselves saying what they're thinking. And then you also have the view of the third person, where somebody from the outside is looking at the whole situation and looking at the views not only of the athlete but also the people around them and how it's affecting them. So I think it's a good thing to have both.
Right.
Because I think it's needed to tell a full story, because just like in any, you know, story, you have two sides to every story. You don't only want the one side. You want more.
Maybe not the maybe not the kind of lower tier players, you know, but the superstars.
Yeah.
If they're cool with breaking news about themselves, I think they should. And LeBron kind of started that train, and hopefully it gets forward and gets going where it's kind of permanently that, because I have like barely any faith in any of these reports in it nowadays. You know, it's kind of
all over the place.
I'm losing faith. I'm losing faith year after year.
It's just if sources say this, and who are these sources? That's the thing. It's like, okay, well, one person's saying this. You're hearing already that. How many times have you heard already this season, okay, Kevin Durant's going to the Knicks because of this? Then all of a sudden you hear Kevin Durant's going to the Clippers because of this. So you hear all these different ideas of why he's doing one decision, but we don't know yet. And I agree with you. I don't think he knows yet. If he does, you know, whatever he decides, we thank you for all that you've done here. And hope that you come back. But if not, well, thank you for your time here at Golden State.
Well, another quote from the article. Kevin Durant says, I don't know. I never know. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't think about the future, bro. Like that. Of course, I think about it, but not like, let me make these plans. Let me go ahead and go through the logistics and details. I don't go through details on bleep like this. My whole thing is, I don't even want the business to get in the way of basketball. So in the beginning of the season, my whole thing was like, let that bleep. That bleep had nothing to do with me during the season. That has nothing to do with what we're doing on the court. Does this kind of change the way you look at superstars in the sense that he really is just keeping it to this season, his thoughts, his thoughts for the future? He's clearly thinking just about another championship, a third title. Then between that time and July 1st, when the time comes, he's going to make a decision then. But right now, I kind of was under the impression during the season, I'm always thinking, these players are thinking always one step ahead.
They have to. And it's not just him.
There's, or is he
so
just unique? Is he, you know?
No, no. I think a lot of players, because especially that's one of the things, one of the arguments why people say that players like coming to Golden State is because you're right next to Silicon Valley. You have the connection with like the tech companies. And you see like somebody like Andre Iguodala, who's very involved with a lot of different tech companies and different apps and things like that. So these guys aren't just thinking only of playing on the court, playing basketball. They're thinking beyond that. They're thinking, okay, how can I set myself up for the future as well beyond basketball? And I think you kind of have to do that. And I think that's going to lead to a lot of success. And that's why a lot of these guys end up making a ton of money afterwards.
I think that's a big reason why anytime someone comes to the Warriors, you sort of expect them to retire as a Warrior because of, I mean, you're in the Bay Area. You got all the business opportunities in the world, like you said, with Andre. I mean, Andre took that path. He said, I'm coming to San Francisco and I'm not leaving because I have stuff that I want to do there that I'm going to get off the ground. It's the same with Steph Curry as well. Steph, obviously, for different reasons, he's been here his entire career and he's going to be a Warrior lifer and he hopes to stay that way. So I think that it's interesting just trying to speculate on all of this, but at the same time, Kevin Durant, when he says that he doesn't know where he's going or what he's going to do, I kind of believe that.
I also think he's kind of teasing everybody at the same time because if he's always putting out these little nuggets.
Yeah.
All these little things. He could have just been quiet, but he's still talking about it. You know, he could be like, you know, I don't want to talk about it to the end of the year. That's fine. But he says little things here and there, and he's very involved in the media, you know, involved in so many different projects. He puts himself out there, but he's also looking at what's going to be best for him long-term, also business-wise.
So you think he's kind of like a LeBron and everything that he says is calculated, or do you think that he's actually made some mistakes in what he said?
I wouldn't say I think he's it's somewhat calculated.
Because LeBron, everything
he's very calculated.
Everything he does, everything he says, there's a reason behind it. I do think that sometimes Kevin Durant has just gotten so comfortable that he just might blurt something out that he didn't expect to kind of get like the particular backlash that he's gotten. I really do believe that now, especially seeing just everything that's been happening. It's been KD versus the media. That's been the Warriors storyline. Can you think of another Warriors? What would the storyline have been this season had KD just not had any trouble? The Draymond spat gone. The free agency rumor's gone. The biggest story probably would have been Klay on his cold streak to start the season, and then it would have ended there. From then on, we would have just speculated about whether they'll win the NBA Finals or not due to them just losing to terrible teams. That would have probably been the leading storyline, right?
There would have been something, I'm sure. I'm sure something would have come out. Somebody would find some little story here and there, whether or not it was taking something small and turning it into something bigger, or whether it was something bigger that maybe something else. You know, maybe something else that we don't know already has been going on that we don't pay attention to because of this story. So something would come out, you know, because no matter what, we still want to feel like we know these players. And that's what happens, is that you want to feel like you're connected to them. And that's kind of the cool thing about something like the Players Tribune and any of these any of the ways that these players come out, is that you almost feel like you know them personally when you're reading these stories.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the cool thing, is that you kind of get an idea of what they're like, and, you know, you kind of feel like, okay, I know who they are. I know what they're all about.
I think it's just that's one of the biggest kind of fallacies, I think, in sports, is just us thinking we actually know these players. They are not the same people when they're talking to the media.
Yeah.
They're, for the most part, maybe you get a sense of what Draymond Green's like. You do actually get a sense of what Klay's like, but for the most part, none of these guys show their actual true colors when they're talking to the media.
You can't, because you still have an image you have to uphold. No matter what, at the end of the day, you have an image, and you have to, you know, you have to live up to that image. I do appreciate, though, KD coming out and talking to the media as much as he does. So he does talk a lot to people, and he doesn't shut off. He doesn't just say, you know, I mean, there are his moments, but at the same time, he does talk to people.
Is Russell Westbrook, now that we're seeing that,
God,
I'm seeing the big difference now when KD left. I kind of see why he did, because it looks like Russell Westbrook, he's kind of a little drama queen, huh?
Well, yeah, isn't that been kind of the sentiment for a while now?
Since KD left, he was known as that guy who stayed home, right?
Yeah.
He was kind of the more respected, hey, you want this guy to win the finals just because of what KD did. But at the same time now, I think that time has passed. I don't think anyone wants to really even see him win anymore, just because they're seeing what he's been showing to the media.
There's a lot. He's definitely got a lot of frustrations right now.
It's weird.
I mean, all year long, I feel like, I mean, even that point when that kid had pushed him in the game. I don't blame him for getting upset about that, because no matter what, it is kind of weird to think that you have somebody right there touching you.
Right.
Maybe he could have handled a little differently, but the idea of they're right there.
Yeah.
And you're kind of in your own little bubble and your own little mindset. And then all of a sudden somebody's sitting there touching you, and you're like, hey, wait, hold on. We're supposed to have almost a barrier here, but it's not.
Real quick, want to get to the sound from Mark Jackson on the Stephen A. Smith Show. This is the kind of stuff that KD's talking about when it comes to media speculation.
you have a free agency for a reason. I do not think this team will be together next year. I don't think that the fun is as much as it's been in the past. So I think there will be a different looking team next year. And I think Kevin Durant is the guy that holds the key. And then when it comes time to free agency, if you're the Golden State Warriors, you do not mess with Klay Thompson. As soon as possible, 12:01, and I mean not 1 minute, but 1 second, you put an offer, a max deal on the table for Klay Thompson, because he is absolutely essential to your success and what he's done for that franchise from day one. But Kevin Durant, outside of that, is going to be key.
So there you go.
And I agree with that.
He thinks Klay Thompson should be signed to the max. And I hope Klay comes back. In the end, whether KD stays and Klay leaves or Klay stays and KD leaves, it's not going to make much of a difference. I'm cool with either one of them staying as long as, I'm cool with either one of them leaving as long as one of them stays, and vice versa.
Yeah, but only if it's a long-term deal. I don't want Klay to leave and then all of a sudden KD's like, I'll stay for another year. Needs to be a long-term deal.
Jolo and Dibs are coming up. It's going to be a big football day. They got George Kittle at 8:30, Greg Papa at 8 o'clock, Ethan Strauss, obviously a great Warriors writer, at 9:10, then Chris Spielman, who's going to have more draft talk for you. He's really good at evaluating talent. I'm into that.
Yeah.
But the mock drafts, eh.
I want to wait till the real day. Draft day, Thursday. We're going to have a great show also on 95.7 The Game.
Plus, we didn't get to it today, but there's Game of Thrones odds that came out. We'll get into that.
We'll do that Thursday.
Yeah, we'll get into that later in the week. But Jolo and Dibs are next. Draft coverage, Warriors, they're going to have it all.